Well, good morning. Thank you all for being here this morning. I'm excited to share some things here with you. I'll just give you a little quick introduction to our family. And this is us. I'm Joel, and my wife Sarah here in the front. And then Jeremy, Zachary, and Caroline are our kids, and we're the Arnold family. We're in the Philippines. I'm going to show you a little bit about the Philippines later on. Can I just say here at the very beginning, I have a goal. I have an agenda for our time here. And my agenda is that I want to show you that God is doing great things around the world. Things that we don't see a lot. Because we, of course, just see what's in front of our faces. We see what we have exposure to. I want you to see a picture, a little window this morning, into the great things that God is doing right now, all across this world. I think every missionary probably feels maybe a little bit the same way. When you come off and you're wanting to kind of report, explain to people a little bit about what's happened, you feel like it's an impossible task. Because what you want to do, you want to introduce them to your world. You want to kind of introduce them into the life that you've lived the last 4 years. And the reality is, you can't. Because it's two very different worlds. So how can you possibly introduce people to another culture, another language, another way of thinking, a whole different setting? You can't. I can show you pictures. I can give you little windows into things. I can show you kind of, you know, getting around marketplaces, buying fruit. I can even, and this is just kind of the marvel of being alive in the day that we're alive, but I can even show you videos. And videos help a lot, don't they? Videos give you a kind of a picture even more. And so kind of getting an idea of what it would be like to do some basic shopping, some idea of what it is just to walk around. And where we're living is, it's a place with a lot of people surrounding you all the time. One of the things that's kind of interesting about our setting, you see these colored umbrellas. Well, I actually brought one with me this morning. I have a colored umbrella in the back. These are everywhere. And it's just, these are everywhere, people are everywhere, you're surrounded all the time. It's a huge city. I can show you those pictures, but fundamentally, I can't really introduce you to my world. I can't. This is the best I can do. What's it like to arrive in a new setting and actually not just to arrive, but to know that this is home? You know, my wife and I said it was a little bit like an arranged marriage in the sense that you arrive in this place and you know, this is home now. Now let me figure out what it's like. I have no idea what this place is, but this is where I'm going to live the next 4 years. What is that like? Well, the first and most basic task that you have to get settled is language study. And I would say when I used to hear missionaries, I kind of had this assumption that I'd never verbalized. I had this assumption that, yeah, the missionaries just sort of go over there and they just live there. And then the language just kind of like gets in their brain somehow because they're living there. Okay. And you know this. It doesn't. It's a lot of work. Language learning is a process of daily self-humiliation, making a fool of yourself all the time. With other people, awkward conversations that fall apart, things you wish you could say and you can't figure out how to say them, and so you just hi, and then kind of walk away. You know, and that's the reality of it. We studied Tagalog for about 8 months, and that was more an academic kind of way. And then after that, we moved out into what they call the province, like we could say moving into the country. And that was just because Manila, where we live, has a lot of English. So moving out into the country got us into a place where, kind of by immersion, you have to speak Tagalog all the time. That process, like I said, was an immense amount of work, but immensely worth it. Immensely worth it. Let me introduce you to someone. This is Mr. Romy. We call him Kuya Romy. Mr. Romy is, he's I think, in maybe his 70s, and he lives on the street in our neighborhood. He's homeless. Now, there's not, as far as I know, anything that maybe we might associate with homelessness in his case. He just doesn't have a job, and he doesn't have anything that he can do. So what he does, he walks around the neighborhood, and he collects bottles and cans, and he takes them to recycling every day, and he sells them for scrap, and he gets maybe a dollar or two for his work that day, and that's how he feeds himself and his wife. His wife, Veronica, she's in her 80s, And she's also homeless, of course. They live together on the streets of Manila. So we met Romy one time just in our neighborhood as we were walking around. And we gave him some food, and then we got to know him better, and we had him over for lunch, him and his wife. And we sat down for lunch, we ate, he ate, and I just sat there and read him the Bible. I just read the Bible for like 30 minutes. They were perfectly happy with that. And then that kind of developed into a relationship where they would come out. This is right in front of my front door. And he would come by every maybe couple weeks or something, and I would give him a plate of food, and then I would sit on the front doorstep and I'd just read the Bible to him, 20, 30 minutes. Sometimes I'd have Jeremy there with me, and I would give the gospel to Jeremy. I'd tell, okay, Jeremy, I'm going to explain the gospel to you, and I ask him a bunch of questions. It wasn't for Jeremy. Jeremy needs to hear the gospel too, but it was really for Romy, right? I was telling the gospel in front of Romy for him to hear. And we did that for a while until eventually I went out and I found a Bible for him in Tagalog, and I gave it to him. It's a John and Romans. And I said, here you go. Why don't you read this? And so what I meant by that, you know, take it home and read it. And so he said, okay. He sat down on my front doorstep and he just started reading it. Great. So I sat down with him. We sat there for a long time. I wasn't going to get up. If he kept on reading, I was going to sit there. We sat there for a long time, and he does not read quickly, okay? And he read and turned pages, read and turned pages. He read through the middle of John chapter 4, and then he looked up at me and he said, I'm tired. It's fine, no problem. So he went home, and I saw him a couple weeks later, and I asked him, so how'd that go with the reading? He said, I read it. Really? Okay. So I started asking him some questions. He had read the whole thing, and he remembered stuff. I mean, he was telling me stories from John chapter 20. He remembered the whole thing. And that process, I don't know for sure whether he's a believer or not. He heard the gospel a bunch. He heard a bunch of Bible from me. But reason I talk about Romy here is just to say this. You don't reach a guy like this unless you learn his language and you learn it well. There are people in Manila that speak English. You can communicate in English. You can get by with English, okay. But you don't reach a guy like this unless you know Tagalog and you learn it well. And by God's grace, the process of language learning, tons of work and a lot of exhaustion, worth it big time. Let me give you kind of another illustration of where language learning goes, or another kind of, let's say, another doorway that language learning opens up.
Well, it's Sunday morning, pretty early. Sun just came up a little bit ago. Outside in our little porch area, and got my coffee and a good book on Revelation. Excited about learning about Revelation chapter 7. I think it's going to be a good day.
Dad, can you pray for us?
Yes. Dear Jesus, thank you for
Amen. Amen. Ready? Yes. Yeah. Come. Just let him do
it. Okay. Do
you see a tricycle?
Yeah. I got the Jollibee.
Church of God.
Hindi po, Tabernacle Baptist Church po. Ito po yung
Good morning.
Diyos na lason. Paghihintay sa tagapagligtas, magtasasag hintay ang tao sa Kanya. Ang pangalo, siya'y dumating na. Ito na siya. Ano ba yung libro sa Biblia yan? Ha? O nga, makapiyuhang lang dyan, di ba? Ang kwento ng nangyari na dumating si Jesucristo dito sa mundo. Ano pong ginawa niya? Meron pong result ng kanyang ministry, ang mga may sakit, ang mga may ano, yung mga hirap, yung mga parang sasabihin natin, handicap. Anong nangyari sa kanila? Okay na? Galingin ng Diyos sila. So ang resulta ng kanyang ministry sa kanila, nawala ang kanilang kahirapan. At nalang ang mabuting baliktad galing sa kanya. Ayun pala, ito ang parang kung gusto kong lumapit sa Diyos sa pamagitan ng kanyang salita, sa pamagitan ng kanyang tagapagligtas, ang sinuko ng Diyos dito sa mundo, siya ay sugot sa lahat. Siya ay gamot sa lason. Ang resulta na ito, wala nang problema ng tao. Ang tagapagligtas ay dumating na.
Kailangan mo si Jesus. Nais niyang ayusin ang buhay niya, ang buhay mo. Gusto niyang iligtas ito. Meron ba? Gusto kong ayusin ang Diyos ang buhay ko. Tapos ang gawin, gusto ko na ayusin ang Diyos ang buhay ko.
Bye-bye po.
Thank you po.
Sasakay na tayo. Right there.
That would be kind of our regular Sunday routine, kind of a typical Sunday, more or less. One of the other opportunities that happened, again, this is just related to language things. We had the opportunity to be at Hillarmee Fundamental Baptist Church for about a year, and I pastored there during that time. This is the church, and actually, this next picture, you might recognize somebody here. This is the handover service. So this is when I took the pastorate on. When my in-laws were visiting. So we took on the church at the beginning of that because this man here to the right, he was the former pastor, he was going on furlough. And here's our church family, just a couple of pictures or give you a general idea of what our church family is like. By God's grace, we had a good year there. It was a good opportunity, both just investing as far as ministry and being able to pastor during that time, learning from the process, and just seeing God work. We had a couple of VBS opportunities, outreaches like that, and that was exciting. We had some teen outreaches two different times. We would go out to the local gym area and use a big ball. It was actually a yoga ball. And then after that, they heard the gospel. Every single person heard the gospel twice. And so very much opportunities in that neighborhood where after a couple of weeks like that, a couple months like that, people would stop me in the street and ask me a question because they knew that we were connected to the church. It's really, really a blessing. Great time. When I think about our time at that church, Hillarmee, I can't say it would be nice to say that we tripled the attendance and we had two building programs. And we sent out 50 new missionaries, and we saw 250 people saved, and you know, we had so much money in the budget, we didn't know what to do with it, right? None of this happened. When we finished that year, basically the church was pretty much like when we came. We added a few more people. We had two baptisms, and there were a number of professions of faith. That was a blessing. Here's where I find my joy in thinking about that year. I think of an older man that came up to me, a man in his 60s, and at the end of our time he told me, I feel like during this last year I understood the Bible. My wife told me she understood the Bible better than we ever have before. Great. That's what I'm looking for. A younger couple that was just married, had a lot of things to overcome, a lot of difficulties, and they established their marriage during that year. And they told us that it was the Word of God and fellowship that allowed them to get through that year and helped them overcome with some hope and some confidence and build their marriage. That's worth it. That's what that year was about. At the end of that year, we hand that over to this man. This is Pastor Rafael Batang. He's pastoring there now. He is a graduate of BJMBC, the college where I teach as well. And the Lord is continuing to use him. I praise the Lord for what the Lord has done in opening that doorway and how God is now using Pastor Raf there. This kind of points me to a next thing that I want to talk about briefly here.
Well, it's Sunday afternoon, and I'm standing outside of our church, Hail Army Fundamental Baptist Church. This was a very special Sunday for us. This is the 30th anniversary of the church. The Lord has been working here since 1986. For us, for our family, this marks the end of about 11 months that we've been able to minister here. And I've had the privilege of pastoring during this time here at our church. It's with a lot of joy today that we celebrated this, also a little bit of sadness. We're going to miss the people of this church, and they have become our friends. We greatly appreciate them, and we'll miss them greatly. But on the other hand, the Lord has provided a good man to pastor this church. Pastor Rafael Batang grew up here, then he studied at BJMBC, graduated at BJMBC where I'm teaching, and now he's taken over the pastorate of the church, handed it over to him today. We really would appreciate your prayers that the Lord would continue to bless this church and do great things here as he has done over the last 11 months. And we also want to express our thanks for your support allowing us to be here and the privilege we've had of being able to minister and serve over this time. Thank you so much.
So I just mentioned in that BJMBC. What is BJMBC? What am I talking about? This is probably the core ministry, one of the main ministries that we have there and a major focus of our time. And this ministry is teaching young men and women like this in an academic context to be prepared for the ministry. BJMBC is a college that the Lord has allowed us to be part of and invest in. Sarah's been able to teach some classes there as well. In the last 4 years, I lost count, but I think I taught 4 classes of Bible doctrines, preaching, 2 preaching classes, Greek classes, Hebrew classes, church history. Even had some special guests come in and do some classes. New Testament theology, systematic theology, just a full range of different theology type classes. And what I love about teaching there is seeing how God is using these students, what he's doing in their lives. Let me give you a little introduction here, kind of a little vision of what it would be like to go to class and what a class day might look like. Traffic is an absolutely defining reality of life in Manila. Over time, actually, you learn not to make plans or plan to do anything without taking traffic into account. It's generally the biggest factor of anything you do. That's one of the reasons, actually, that I prefer biking or taking public transport. Not only will it very often be faster, but it gets you out. It allows you to see people. Instead of just encountering this world through a bubble, you're seeing the people around you all the time. In many ways, that decision has been our greatest open door for having contacts with people. Most of the best conversations I have evangelistically are somebody I'm sitting beside on a bus or in one of these Jeeps, or someone I meet while I'm biking, traveling outside, a taxi driver. You're bored, they're bored, you're sitting in traffic, you're waiting for something to happen, and people are ready to talk. Another big effect of traffic is just the daily reminder of how many people are all around you. And these aren't just obstacles to my getting to where I need to be. These are human beings, and they're going about their lives just as I'm going about mine. How is it possible to try to reach this many people, to try to get the truth of the gospel, the message of life, both into their understanding, into their minds, into their lives? And in many ways, it feels hopeless. There are just too many people. But I think that's really where I would place my hope in the philosophy that the Lord has set before us. That, yes, one person can't, and actually shouldn't, try to reach all of these people. You won't be able to. But what God has called us to do, all of us as believers, is not just to go do it ourselves, but to make disciples, to train other people, to share the message. And that's the privilege that I have every day as I spend time with faithful students in the classroom.
Hello, Pa. What is that? Hello, Pa. Ang tanong ni Michelle kung ito ay tribulation or baka judgment na. Hindi ko po alam. Depende lang sa mga estudyante. Okay, tayo manalangin. Panginoon Diyos, salamat po sa maraming biyaya na ibinigay niyo po sa amin sa loob ng sem na ito. Maraming salamat po sa tulong sa bawat estudyante sa kanilang kasipagan, kanilang pag-aaral. Salamat po sa kanilang puso na gustong-gusto nilang mag-aralin ang inyong salita.
When I look at this group of students, I wish, just like I say, I wish I could introduce you to my world, I wish I could introduce you to them. In that group of students right there, there are people from, of course, the Philippines, people from China, Myanmar, Vietnam, people that grew up in the U.S. There are people in that group that had to leave everything. Their family rejected them when they decided that they were going to be baptized and become Christians. You've got people in that group that are studying there. Their family struggles to put together two meals a day, but they still come here because they want to study God's Word. And we're not paying them to study God's Word. They're there because they want to study God's Word. They're paying tuition. They're investing because they love this. These people are overcoming obstacles. These people are working hard. And by God's grace and by His power, it's a powerful testimony to how much they love His words and how much they want to serve Him. That they are giving their time, their energies, many times really scarce resources, to be here for no other benefit than just to hear God's word, to know it well, and be able to minister it to others.
Inyong salita. Makita po sana nila ang inyong blessing sa buhay nila. Lahat po nanalangin po kami sa pangalan ni Jesu Kristo. Amen. Okay. Ito pong test ay katulad sa mga iba. So, purong essay po siya. But ang makikita po nyo po ay bawat tanong dito, katulad sa mga iba, ang dapat mga 4-5 sentence sa bawat tanong. Okay?
As they continue to study, you see growth, you see learning. They're normal students. We have, of course, their disciplinary problems happen, and they're normal people, they struggle. But God is using our students. And God already has placed many of these students all across the world. He's already using them in wonderful ways across the planet. One more piece of our ministry that I want to share with you, as then these contacts from the Philippines go out and people are ministering in different places, that leads to relationships, and people ask us to come out to different places and share with them. So one other aspect of our ministry has been going out from the Philippines and holding short-term classes, let's say like something that was mentioned earlier in Singapore, maybe a five-day class, a one-week class. And in these cases, you'll have people that are taking their vacation days. This might be the only vacation days for their year. They'll take a week off of work to be in a class. It's really, really striking. They'll take 5 days of work because every day they come in and they sit down and they listen to 5, 6, sometimes 7 hours of lecture. This is their vacation. And those class opportunities are spread all across the Philippines. We've had multiple classes there, classes going outward, international as well, in different places. I'm teaching, in many of these classes, I'm teaching groups of pastors. It might be 14, 15 pastors. Or in other cases like this, it might be a church. And the church is just looking for education and teaching. Other cases, this is in the Middle East. These are people that are very limited on what they can do. They don't have a lot of freedom to be able to openly proclaim and evangelize. But they want a class. They want someone to come and teach them. And these kinds of opportunities just humble me. The picture you're looking right at right here, some of these men, pastors, they finished their services on Sunday. The class was on Monday. So as soon as church was done, they went out and they got on their motorcycle in the evening and they traveled 12, 14 hours on the back of a motorcycle all night so that they could be there on time for class the next morning, after they had just done a full preaching day and everything. Travel all night, here I am at class. I don't know how these people, how they're doing it. And the biggest sacrifice for them is not so much the time, it's the money. It's the expense of getting there. That's what's on their mind. Maybe an amount for us that would be like maybe $100 or something. This is a huge amount of money. And that sacrifice to be there for this class, it's a big deal. It's a big stretch. So as we go forward, we're looking forward to God opening more of those opportunities. I feel like if someone like that is begging for me to come and offer a class, I want to be there. I mean, if he's going to travel 12, 14 hours on the back of a motorcycle, let me get there and teach him something. Let me make this available for him. And another piece of this is a really exciting opportunity going forward that the Lord has opened up. This is actually just taken right off of our website. This is a project we started a few months ago. And it's a project, I can show you some information. You could even take advantage of it if you wanted. We offered a class. You can see it, Advanced Biblical Theology. When I say advanced, that's because it's advanced. It was taught on a really high academic level, honestly, like advanced master's or even doctorate type of level. And we had about 35 students. This was a class offered together with a friend of mine. We worked together to split up the teaching. And then a number of American professors also jumped in and offered individual classes as well. When we all got done offering this out to people, we had about 70 people sign up and about 30 people that completed the class. And they were from all over the planet. Okay, so how do you teach a class all over the planet? Well, the internet. That's why God gave, one of the good reasons God gave us the internet. And so every Monday and Thursday night, we would have two-hour classes. We have another class coming up just in a little bit. You could tune in for these. Two-hour classes going through, talking about the message of the Bible, essentially. Really, really exciting stuff. Here's just a little brief excerpt from one of those classes.
When we're looking at the Testaments, okay, and we're seeing Jesus Christ standing at the center, he accounts for the change. Basically then, with him as the center, the Old Testament becomes this massive anticipation of him. When will he come? What is the answer? How will we understand? How will we see him when he comes? The Old Testament becomes this massive anticipation of him. The New Testament becomes the massive explanation of him.
And this is the kind of stuff that we just had all kinds of fun going through together. Let me introduce you to one of these guys. This is a guy from Myanmar. He has very good English. Some of the words you'll struggle to hear, but anyway, he'll correct his mistakes. This man has has been very active in ministry, and he told me, he came to a point where he was asked to teach a class, and he said to himself, I don't know anything about that topic. How can I teach that class? And that's when he made the decision to step away, come to the Philippines, and study there. This is an example of a guy that, a really, really diligent student that has made huge sacrifices to be studying the Word of God, and someone that we are hoping to reach through this project. This is Brother David.
My wife is Sano, S-N-O-W, Sano. Isaac is 5 years old.
And Abigail is?
Abigail is one and a half, yes. Because I really interest on soul winning, so personal evangelism. And actually, I started from my family. So my younger brothers are become Christian and saved through my teaching. At that time, I used to have 3 nights in my home and another 3 nights to home crusade or to the other family. So this is the beginning of my journey for preaching the gospel. And at that, and practice, and I used to go outside and share the gospel to other people, and I love personal evangelism. So I went everywhere. So everywhere I go, I'm looking for that. So God also giving me. Sometimes I don't find anybody to say about God's word. So I got angry when I came back to my house. Then God is using me in different way, and somebody knows about me. Then they invite me to share the gospel in their church, and especially sometime for salvation message. At the same time, connected with some basic of Christian life. So I don't know how God is using me, but they invite me. So I never dreaming about it, but I'm dreaming about to share the gospel to everyone. So even till today, and also sometimes I create it. Everywhere I go, I ask them, how about you? Are you really Christian? They said, yes, Christian. Are you sure? I said, how can you say your identity of your Christianity? Then they cannot answer that. I said, oh, can I tell you this thing? And they said, yes, maybe. So they don't want to listen. So I asked them, call your friend. So they call them their friend, and there are sometimes 10 people, 30 people, 40 people. So everywhere I go, I used to start like that. And last year also, I learned some of the biblical studies, the whole books, both Old Testament, New Testament. And that time my eyes is open, because I can see some of the big picture of the Old Testament and some of the books, example Genesis, something like this, and even in the New Testament, I can focus on, oh, this is the whole picture of the Bible. And then this year we focus on New Testament through Dr. Arnold. So I'm really blessed on that teaching. So I'm not a professional in that way, but I learned many things. I can able to find myself what is the biggest theme and the major theme and some minor themes, and how it's connected to each theme and what does it means through that books in the life of the first time me, and the second time, secondly for the people, what God want us to do and speak through this book theology. So I'm really happy, and it's really helpful for me. At the same time, it's so really hard to write because I'm not good in English, so I need to find out many words to complete my assignment, but I really enjoy it.
My only sadness in watching that video with you is that I'm thinking of so many other people I wish I could introduce to you. So many other people just like this that are doing a great job and studying and sacrificing and serving God in great ways. I started out earlier today, I said my goal was to show you or to demonstrate, to argue that God is doing great things. You're probably familiar with this quote, and it's a very famous, well-known quote. Expect great things from God, attempt great things from God. And we hear that quote. That is very, very true and perceptive, but I want to also build on that to go one more step. I want to say not only that God will do things in the future or God has done things in the past, but I think we should profess and believe and hold with all of our hearts that God is doing great things right now. That it's not just a past thing. That sometimes maybe this thought, it's not a good thought, honestly. This thought might come to our head, something like, why were there so many great missionaries in the past? Where are the great missionaries today? And it's because we see all of these great heroic figures that are recorded in the biographies, and we think of them, and so we're looking around wondering, where are the great missionaries of today? And our assumption might be that there are none. That's wrong. You're just looking in the wrong place. There are lots of great missionaries today. There are lots of great things happening all over this world. You don't see them, but they're happening. God is doing great things right now. Never question that God has a great work. And if you could just see and know and meet some of these people, the knowledge of knowing that God is doing a great work in their hearts would challenge each one of us and drive each one of us. Where then is my heart? I'm just the same. Let's walk together with them. Let's follow with them. Let's pursue our God. Our God is doing great things right now. Let's allow our God to do great things in our hearts right now as well, as we rejoice in the joy and the beauty of His great work.